Good afternoon. Thank you very much for coming. We'll start with opening statements by the Secretary General and the President, and then we'll be able to take two questions. Secretary General.
President Petro Poroshenko, it's great to have you back in NATO at the NATO headquarters. It's great to see you again. We last met during my visit to Ukraine earlier this fall, and I think your visit here today is just yet another example of how NATO and Ukraine is developing and strengthening our strong and highly valued partnership. Your visit to Brussels, to NATO and to the European Union comes at an important time for Europe and for Ukraine. And we discussed during our meeting how we can further strengthen the partnership between NATO and Ukraine. And NATO continues to stand by Ukraine with both political and practical support. And we strongly support the implementation of the Minsk agreements. There has been some progress over the last months, but recently we have seen an increased number of violations of the ceasefire. And there is a real risk of the resumption of the violence. Ukraine still does not have full control over its borders. Russia has still not withdrawn its troops or equipment. Illegal groups have not been disarmed. So it is really vital to make sure that all sides keep their commitments. And Russia bears a special responsibility. NATO and NATO allies will continue to provide practical support for Ukraine. Our trust funds are helping Ukraine modernize its command and control, cyber, logistics, capabilities, and other parts of its armed forces. We are advising the Ukrainian Ministry of Defense and the General Staff. And many NATO allies support Ukraine bilaterally, providing training and different types of assistance. These projects make a real difference in building Ukraine's ability to defend itself and strengthen its institutions. And Ukraine has shown commitment in implementing ambitious reforms. Continued progress on reforms and political stability is essential to building a strong, democratic, and stable Ukraine. And I urge you to continue on this path. This will be good for Ukraine and good for European security. And as you undertake this important work at a critical time in Ukraine's history, you have a committed friend and a strong partner in NATO. So again, Mr. President, it's a great honor to have you here, and the floor is yours, please.
Thank you very much indeed.
Distinguished Mr. Stoltenberg, Secretary General, ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to be here at the headquarters of NATO today and to continue our very open and candid dialogue with our friend, Secretary General Mr. Stoltenberg. The dialogue which we started during the previous visit of Mr. Stoltenberg to Ukraine when we attended together exercises there. And for the first time, the Secretary General of NATO attended the meeting of the National Security and Defense Council of Ukraine. I believe that these are very symbolic steps which demonstrate the level of confidence and trust between Ukraine and NATO. In the morning, I visited SHAPE, the headquarters of Special Operation Forces of NATO, and I had a very fruitful discussion with the SECUR, Mr. Breedlove. It is always a pleasure to be in a circle of friends and allies, especially in such tough times as we're going through. NATO is showing a very reliable format of support, and we are extremely grateful to the Alliance for this and to Secretary General of NATO, Mr. Stoltenberg, personally. Thank you very much for your commitment and unwavering support that you are giving to Ukraine in the time of unprecedented security challenges. We've exchanged views about our interaction to counteract the growing military presence of Russia in the region, in particular in the Donbas. I informed Mr. Stoltenberg about the numbers of occupational forces on the territory of eastern Ukraine, and today the president of Russia for the first time publicly admitted the presence of Russian military in the occupied eastern part of Ukraine. We also discussed the situation in Crimea and the growing militarization of the peninsula. Obviously, it's only through joint and coordinated efforts that we can neutralize that threat. Today, we mapped out our plans for the future. We discussed further steps of cooperation. We also discussed the forthcoming summit of NATO in Warsaw. I informed the Secretary General about my talks with the President of Poland, and we reaffirmed the readiness of Ukraine to take part in the NATO summit in 2016. By joint efforts and steps, we are going through going to our goals, and my goal and the goal of Ukraine is to ensure full interoperability between the militaries of Ukraine and NATO by the year 2020. This is the roadmap which we incorporated in the military doctrine, which was approved by the National Security and Defense Council of Ukraine, and I'm sure that we will resolutely implement related reforms. We also have to focus on a number of internal and political reforms to meet the standards and criteria of NATO. And I'm grateful to NATO for their readiness to provide consultative advisory and political support for Ukraine. I'm sure that with the signing of the road map on military technical cooperation, which was signed during this visit, we will have a considerable growth of this format of support. In the near future, we are planning to sign a number of other documents which will further strengthen the defense capabilities of NATO, and I would like to thank Secretary General Stoltenberg once again for a very substance-driven, friendly discussion, and we stand ready to continue this dialogue. What we had today at the Center of Special Operations and discussions at the headquarters of NATO prove very vividly that the relations between Ukraine and NATO are at the top level. Thank you very much for this, Secretary General.
Irina Somornis, Agency Union Ukrainian. Question for both, High Representative. What NATO and Ukraine can achieve together in the practical cooperation during the time which we still have before summit in Warsaw? What is your expectation from this event? And second, my question goes only to Ukrainian President. I'm really sorry, Secretary General. Pane Presidente.
Presidente Ukraine. Mr. President, could you please tell us about the results of yesterday's mini summit between Ukraine and the EU?
We will continue to strengthen our partnership. And of course, it's a bit too early to prejudge exactly what will be the outcomes of the summit in Warsaw when it comes to how we are going to do it. But I'm absolutely certain that the summit will find ways to both recognize the progress which Ukraine is making on the path of reform, but also to express very strong solidarity and support for Ukraine, and to continue to step up our practical support for Ukraine. We will look after new projects, new ways of expanding this cooperation, and looking into how we can, for instance, expand the work we are doing in the framework of the different trust funds on command and control, cyber, logistics, and in other areas. We have already seen a lot, but we would like to see more. We We are also now addressing the potential for increased cooperation when it comes to, for instance, special operation forces and also naval capabilities. We also discussed during our meeting whether we can do more when it comes to working together inside different issues related to industry, defense industry. So there is a wide range of areas where we either have already launched cooperation and can increase it, or where we see a potential for launching completely new areas of cooperation. So we will continue, we will increase, and during my visit to Ukraine, I also met with the people that are working at the NATO liaison office, and we have increased the numbers of people working there, providing advice and facilitating the cooperation between Ukraine and NATO.
I can only confirm and add a few words that the NATO summit in Wales in year 2014 was crucial for Ukraine, because exactly on the 5th of September, when me participating in the NATO summit, we have a first Minsk agreement. And this, you see, our cooperation with NATO bring the peace to Ukraine. And unfortunately, aggressor bring the war to Ukraine. And the NATO is the only effective mechanism after the Russian aggression, which has completely ruined the mechanism of the Security Council of the United Nations, when one of the permanent members of the United Nations Security Council started to be an aggressor, one that guarantor of the Ukrainian territorial integrity and sovereignty under the Budapest Memorandum started to be an aggressor. We should find out the format who can effectively demonstrating the global security, regional security in Ukraine. And we think that the summits which taking place, and this next year taking place in Warsaw, it's extremely important, and we're expecting the very strong messages and developing of the cooperation with Ukraine. And our agenda of the cooperation with the NATO is huge. Now, really, we now try to summarize. This is the such a big numbers of direction we cooperating. We now confirm that it is effective form of cooperation with the Trust Fund of NATO. We appreciate very much support for introducing reform, and I thank you for the General Secretary for the very high assessment of the reform which is already done in the armed forces of Ukraine, and NATO readiness to participate in the reform of the national security and defense sector in future. This is the tactical form for the training of the special operation forces, for the training of armed forces of Ukraine, for the training of different other, including an emergency forces, that help us a lot to rising up the defensive capability. The agreement which we have with the military and technical cooperation, it is a wide, I cannot say too much about that, but this is a very important perspective to realize the potential of the military and technical cooperation between Ukraine and NATO. So again, I can confirm that that was a communication of the two reliable partners and friends. And I want to personally thanks, now in English, I want to personally thanks my friend, the General Secretary, for his personal involvement in this process. We Ukrainians appreciate it very much. Yes.
And as regards yesterday's mini summit between the EU and Ukraine, it is a unique event in that for the first time in the history of political dialogue between Ukraine and the EU, there were heads and presidents of all European institutions of Ukraine, the European Council, the European Commission, and the European Parliament, Mr. Juncker, Mr. Tusk, and Martin Schulz. It was also attended by the top leadership of the EU, the vice presidents, Mrs. Mogherini, the High Representative for Foreign Policy, European Commissars, and so on. And we discussed very important issues of our cooperation. Frankly speaking, I was very moved and touched by a very candid discussion I had with them with on all the issues on the agenda. And very grateful to them for their support, their political support and solidarity that they demonstrated. We received firm assurances that today, during the meeting of the European Council, and tomorrow, meeting of the European Council, we will have a decision about the continuation of sanctions against the Russian Federation for their utter and complete failure to implement the Minsk arrangements. And that will be for another half year. And that's extremely important for us. Equally important for the Ukrainian citizens was the decision and the agreement about making public tomorrow, on Friday, on the 18th. And I would like to dismiss the rumors that it was postponed, that it will be only about Georgia and Kosovo, and with Ukraine it will be postponed. No, this is not the case. This is why I came to Brussels, so that in the course of our open dialogue we would remove all the obstacles, so that tomorrow we will have a decision saying that Ukraine has fulfilled all the requirements necessary for free visa-free travel regime. This is extremely important for Ukraine. We've been waiting for this for a long time, and this is the first tangible result of our cooperation with the European Union. And I'm very hopeful that as a result of these consultations, the European Commission will submit to the Council of the European Union a legislative initiative about lifting the visa regime for Ukraine in the first half of 2016. Having said that, I'd like to repeat that Ukraine will continue its systemic reform in the area of justice and the internal affairs and the operation of anti-corruption bodies, the bodies for the recovery of assets, and so on. And our success is the only prerequisite for the decision of the EU Parliament decision about the speedy introduction of a visa-free regime between the EU and Ukraine. I have had a number of meetings with heads of EU member countries, during which it was clearly spelled out that they will be guided by the decision of the European Commission as far as those issues are concerned. And it's important that we reconfirmed the readiness of the EU and Ukraine to make sure that the DCFTA enters into force on the 1st of January, irrespective of the next round of trade wars unleashed by the Russian Federation yesterday against us. If this is the price that the Russian Federation wants us to pay for our freedom and democracy, Ukraine will be ready to pay this price. I'd like to add that yesterday, preceding from that announcement by Russia, we held some preparatory talks about broadening the opportunities for our commodities to have access to the European market. And the preliminary reaction of our European partners was very positive. The EU position concerning energy security remains unchanged, primarily as regards the assessment of Northern Stream 2 in terms of its compliance with European regulations and the principles of diversification of energy sources. Together with our partners from the European Union, we said that this is a purely political project. It's about the quest for ways to influence, to bring pressure to bear on Ukraine and the European Union. This is unacceptable. We also discussed opportunities to involve European companies in the modernization of gas transportation system of Ukraine, so that they would be also involved in the management of that system, and we will consistently continue that work. There are many technical details. The negotiations were on different issues, but I wouldn't like to abuse the patience of my friend, Mr. Stoltenberg.
Wall Street Journal. Questions. My name is Victor.
Wait, Wall Street Journal. Julian Barnes, Wall Street Journal. Mr. President, I wonder if you are worried about internal divisions within your coalition and whether those are undermining support for Ukraine in Europe. Mr. Secretary General, you mentioned the continued presence of Russian troops in Ukraine. I wonder if you have any details of NATO's assessment of how many troops are there and what they're doing right now.
For the coalition, I do
my Ukraine.
Coalition united, because this is the only way how we can continue the reform. You know that we make a statement from me. I invite Prime Minister, the Speaker of the Parliament, calling for unity, for decisiveness in providing reform. We should continue our cooperation with the International Monetary Fund. We should vote for the budget. Of course, this is the responsibility of the coalition and the government, but I wouldn't stay aside. I would do my best to keep country together and to decisively continue the reform, which is vitally important for me. And as I told you previously, the war is not excuse for not providing reform. And the reform, which is what initiated by me in the decentralization constitutional reform, in the rule of law constitutional reform, in the tax reform, in the judicial reform, in the reform of the list of the anti-corruption reform and creating anti-corruption infrastructure, that is very important for me. For example, today during the meeting with the Swedish Prime Minister, we agreed about the technical support of the anti-corruption reform from the Swedish government, and they promised that we will develop this form of our cooperation, because what I'm looking for, the transparency and trust, and I'm fully, I'm absolutely sure that Ukrainian people support me in this reform.
Sorry.
Absolutely, yes.
Regarding the Russian presence in eastern Ukraine, we have stated again and again that Russia is present with military personnel in eastern Ukraine. And that is based on our own intelligence sources. It's based on open sources. It's based on reports in the media. It's based on reports from non-governmental organizations. So there are many different sources underpinning and telling the same, that Russia has military presence in eastern Ukraine. But today that's actually also confirmed by President Putin, because what he said today is basically the same as we have stated all along. He said that Russia has personnel in eastern Ukraine, and that this personnel, that they have conducted military activities, and that is what we normally call soldiers. So I think that this just once again underlines the special responsibility of Russia when it comes to the full implementation of the Minsk agreements. The withdrawal of heavy weapons, the withdrawal of forces, and, of course, to make sure that the ceasefire is fully respected. Because the full implementation of the Minsk agreements is the only way to a peaceful, negotiated solution to the crisis in eastern Ukraine.
Thank you very much, colleagues. That's all we have time for now. Thank you.